My name is Abdul, and today I'm going to go through the place of classic literature in the modern world and how that can be used to help teachers pick suitable literature for students. There are several conceived definitions of classic literature. In most cases, it can be as simple as literature that remains relevant throughout time. For our purposes, we're going to define classic literature as literature that fills the following checklist. For one, classic literature should have an applicable, timeless theme, meaning it has a theme that remains relevant throughout time, regardless of when you read it. Two, classic literature should challenge how people think, especially in the time when the book is initially released. 3. Classic literature should show the way of life when the book is written. For some cases, like 1984, that can become a little bit unclear, as that book is based in the future. But because of the vernacular that's used, as well as some of the unfulfilled hopes they have for the future, you learn a lot about the time the book was actually written. Next, classic literature should captivate the reader. This may happen to the plot, but not necessarily. Can also happen through the characters or the author's writing style. Classic literature has a common human struggle, or it's relatable. Classic literature shows the author's viewpoint on society. Classic literature should make the reader feel a certain way about certain issues. And in the process, classic literature is controversial and evokes an emotional reaction. Lastly, classic literature should be open to interpretation. Some pieces that fill all this criteria are Lord of the Flies and To Kill a Mockingbird. Books like these remain relevant because they have a lesson that cannot realistically be fully solved. Throughout time, there is always political innovation that solves issues at the institutional level, one example being the 19th Amendment allowing women to vote. Regardless of this innovation, some issues are just so deeply rooted in human nature, and they're just so past far the institutional reach that they become timeless, and issues like these are the issues that are addressed in the above books. Now that we have established a definition for classic literature, and now that we understand why it remains relevant, the place of classic literature becomes more clear. Classic literature remains to teach, not necessarily to provide solutions, but just to expose prevalent issues and remind of their significance, in the process educating people. An example of this is To Kill a Mockingbird. Today we all know as much as there is to know about systematic racism in America's past, but it can be difficult to gauge its full institutional and cultural impact at that time. To Kill a Mockingbird definitely allows you to do that. You see Ewell and you see how he fits the mold of the typical racist southerner, but there is also the character of Atticus Finch, a literary anomaly of that time, and him being a southerner with a strict moral code, not only having a strict moral code, but having a strict moral code that allows him to separate himself from unjustified fear of other races. So in that case, there's not only the lesson that allows you to see how impactful systematic racism was, but you can learn that there were white southerners who disagreed with those ideals and loudly opposed them. In Lord of the Flies, you see the author William Golding's interpretation of humans when they're away from the norm and are free to think and act. Golding believes humans would then become not adhering to basic moral codes, in a word, barbaric. Golding's hypothesis here is supported by history and can still be seen today. In countries without long-standing governments and firm political structures, chaos and discord often ensue. This book teaches people what tends to happen when governments become non-existent and then people become responsible for building their own governments. That lesson is very much relevant today, and that enforces the place of Golding's work in the modern world. Both these works, because of their lessons, retain a place in classrooms and are usually part of English curriculums. The most important thing for teachers to keep in mind is exactly that, the lesson that's being provided. Some cases, like the one in the Epic of Gilgamesh, are not easily applicable to students in middle school. The Epic of Gilgamesh shows a person undergoing an existential crisis, and then, in the process, the fleetingness of mortality is prevalent. These topics might be better suited for an older audience, which is something teachers should take into consideration. There's also the notion of picking literature for language and wording and vocabulary that your children will understand. For example, children who are younger should probably not read Dante's Divine Comedy because it has some more complicated vocabulary. As you go through the school year, you can really assess your children's competence in that area and in the process pick suitable literature for them. That's all I have to say today. Thank you for listening and have a great day.